Educating, updating, and informing the community are all parts of In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU. This is Lisa Berry, and this is our biweekly conversation with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. This week, talking about the money angle of politics, something that was the focus of a recent League of Women Voters Brews and Views presentation. And here to tell us more about that is Paige Nong, local League member who works for the University of Michigan. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Lisa.
Refresh us first about Brews and Views. What exactly is that? When and where does it take place?
So Brews and Views is a monthly education series that we started about a year and a half ago with the League. The League has a fantastic series called Lunch and Learn, and it happens on Friday afternoons. But for some of us, we weren't able to make any of those great sessions. Mm-hmm. So we decided to start an evening session. It's the third Wednesday of every month at 7:30. And we typically meet at Pointless Brewery, which is on Packard Road in Ann Arbor.
And you've got more coming up?
We do. We go every month.
Oh, every month. Okay.
With a different topic.
All right. So today's topic is the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. And for those who are not familiar with that, let's just start at the very beginning. What is that? What's it all about?
So the Michigan Campaign Finance Network was an organization that we hosted for our February session of Brews and Views. Craig Mauger, the director, came and talked to us about how financing works in politics in the state of Michigan specifically. They're an independent nonprofit organization, and they sort of track how money works in politics in Michigan. So he had some great insights for us and sort of helped us understand how that works in our political system.
Are there a lot of rules?
There are a lot of rules, and then places where there aren't rules that you might expect rules to be. It's a really complicated topic, and Craig did a great job of sort of explaining how it works in our state.
So he sounds like more of an overseer of the financing aspect of politics.
Sure. So his organization tries to make available information that's kind of hard for the public to access. So there are certain requirements for reporting of how spending works in Michigan state politics, but it can be hard to access. It can be kind of confusing. So his organization tries to pull that information all together in a way that we can easily understand and digest.
And why is that important?
It's important because understanding how money works in our politics can really change things. So if you don't understand who's funding certain campaigns or ads, you're not aware of what the interests are. You can't be sort of a critical consumer of that content because you don't know who wants you to see it or who's supporting it. So the Michigan Campaign Finance Network wants to make that information more accessible.
Is it for people who want to run and they need to know where to go, or is it more of like a watchdog and you want to know who's funding your candidate?
It's sort of more a watchdog. Mm-hmm. They do similar work to the League in terms of just trying to make information available for people so that we can be educated voters and consumers of information.
So what are some of the sources MFCN uses?
So they use all kinds of, so there's sort of a patchwork of information available about campaign finance. So they'll access information from the Secretary of State, city clerks put up some information about local elections, and then there are also other ways to access federal information about campaign spending. So they kind of draw all of those together and try to make sense of it for us.
And who files?
So candidates have to file certain expenditures, and they have to disclose certain sources of income. But the tricky part that the Michigan Campaign Finance Network is trying to sort of explain to us, and did a great job of explaining at our Brews and Views session, is that there are certain kinds of spending that aren't quite so regulated, that aren't disclosed in the way that a candidate's expenditures are. So for corporations and for PACs, they don't necessarily need to disclose all of their donors, depending on the way that they talk about politics. So Craig pointed out there's an exception for issue advocacy. If you don't explicitly say vote for X candidate, you don't necessarily have to disclose your donors. So unless I'm saying vote for person A or B, I might not have to tell you who's giving me the money to run an ad. So certain ads can be run if they say, oh, this person is terrible, or you should call and tell them that you don't like their position about something. You don't have to disclose who paid for that ad.
But we do see a lot of ads. I remember the last campaign, and they were not the prettiest of ads. And at the end, they did disclose who, obviously, the opposite side was paying for them.
Sure, some of them do. And a lot of that is sort of, it gets confusing because it can be a corporation or a company that's set up specifically for the political campaign. But you can't necessarily trace it back to an actual donor. So it's sort of a string of companies donating, giving money to another company that's running this ad, and you can't actually figure out who it really came from.
Is that what the Michigan Campaign Finance Network does, though? Do they do the digging and try to put it out there exactly who's funding whom?
They try to when they can, but at a certain point you hit sort of a dead end because it's a string of companies that aren't really well established. So you can set up a corporation to run these ads, and you don't have to say who's funding that specific corporation or those ads. So they try to get as far as they can through this sort of weedsy list of organizations and companies, and then disclose that to the public.
How serious or severe would you say this apparent lack of transparency is in funding candidates and campaigns?
It's quite bad in Michigan. We're ranked 50th out of 50 states for transparency in a lot of ways. And part of that is because a lot of our legislature and our governor are not regulated by FOIA, for Freedom of Information Act requests.
Okay, so, say that again.
Sorry. So our governor and our legislature are not under the Freedom of Information Act. So we can't access a lot of their communications the way that you could in another state. That's why Michigan is ranked so low for transparency.
Even if you go to court?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds clear cut. Is it really this simple?
No, it's quite complicated. And that's part of the reason that the Michigan Campaign Finance Network came and sort of educated us about how this functions. And the League, because it's so concerned about increasing the strength of our democracy and making sure that everyone is an informed and educated voter, is really concerned about this. Because if it's hard to access the information, then people can't really understand how the political system is functioning and how it's changing over time.
So what's being done to change it?
There are some attempts at the state level right now to increase transparency. It's unclear how those efforts will go, but there are a few underway.
And how much money exactly are we talking about?
Tens of millions of dollars, and it's increased significantly in the last 10 years. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network website has a lot of this information, but the spending on even local elections, even down to sort of city council, has increased exponentially over the last 10 years in Michigan.
I know I try to stay as informed as possible, but a lot of this, I don't know if I've ever really heard about this. Why not?
Because I think there are a lot of interests that don't want you to hear about it necessarily. There are people who benefit from sort of bankrolling these campaigns and making sure that their influence is greater than the average voters. So if they can spend, you know, $2 or $3 million on a candidate, it's to their benefit that candidate wins and that you don't necessarily know who's funding them or why.
And the people who do that, what would they say to you? Like, oh, well, this is how we've done it and this is how it works and life goes on?
I guess so. And the Citizens United ruling through the Supreme Court did allow corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money. And so it is legal.
All right. Paige Nong from the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. Thank you. We say this is about informing and educating the voters. And I think we definitely learned a lot today. And we look forward to your next Views and Brews. And thank you so much for joining us on In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU.
Thanks, Lisa.